to see as a church his kingdom extend in this city and beyond. So please do, if you can come tonight, come along and hear more. If not, and you remember, I'll be emailing you out more next week. But right now, I'd love us to turn to the Bible. We've been in a series in 1 John, and one of the things that we're just doing today is taking a pause from our series in 1 John so that we can be thinking, particularly on this Pentecost Sunday and our World Missions Gift Day, about maybe what would the Apostle John want to kind of speak into this that we've got going on today. And that the kind of verse, the passage that gripped my heart was one time when John wrote in his gospel, and he was recording a time when Jesus spoke about kind of Pentecost Sunday before it happened. And so that's in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. And so we're going to turn there. It's in your Bibles. If you've just got given a Bible like this, it's on page number. Well, it's up there on the screen as well. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Thanks for just the way you, with things not quite working today. You've amazingly kept pace. You've done an amazing team. Thanks, Andre, and the guys who've done that as well with us. So I really appreciate that. So John chapter 7. It's page 1072 in these Bibles. John records that on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. It's a short little passage. Should we read it together again? And this time you can all join with me. We've got it up here on the screen as well, so we can read it from there. I'm going to have a sip of water as well. Okay, here we go. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So should we stand, if you're able, and pray together, and then we're going to unpack this passage for us. Lord Jesus, we do want to come to you right now. And Holy Spirit, we do want to welcome you. Have your way amongst us this morning. Thank you for what you've already been doing, already been saying to us. Speak, Lord. We, your servants, are listening. Lord, help me, help us. For I ask in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats, everyone. The Apostle John, there in John chapter 7, is remembering Jesus' words, talking about a gift. I don't know if you've ever had a gift that you've kind of been longing for and longing for and longing for, but it just hasn't been given yet. Maybe you remember those days where you're kind of anticipating a birthday or something like that that was coming. And Jesus records very clearly in here that right in verse 39, that up to that point, this amazing gift had not yet been given. Something that actually people that Jesus was speaking to, get this, had been longing for centuries. I mean, centuries mankind had been needing and longing something. And it was something, do you notice here at the end of verse 39, that wasn't given when Jesus died. Amazing that Jesus died for us, showed us such love. But this gift didn't come through that. And then we know, we've just been celebrating recently at Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead. And an amazing event, a great victory. And we've just been celebrating, even this morning as we were just preparing to come out and lead the service, that Jesus is risen, he's alive. But with his resurrection, this gift didn't come then. No, this gift came only when Jesus was glorified, when he was ascended. And without this gift, the church wouldn't be able to operate as the church needed to. Without this gift, John, the apostle, knew that he couldn't do the stuff that Jesus was calling him to do. What did they need to be the people God was calling them to be? What do you and I need to be the people that Jesus is calling us to be? What do we need above all else as a church to be the church? What do we need? Well, we need this gift. We need this gift that God would love afresh to give us today. This gift that God loves to give. It's an extraordinary gift. It's a gift that turns the Christian life from something impossible. I don't know, do you ever find the Christian life feels hard? Well, I'll be straight up with you. The Christian life is actually impossible to really do without this gift. It's a gift that turns something impossible to something possible. It's a gift that enables ordinary people. Anyone ordinary here? We're all pretty ordinary, aren't we? Look around. It enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It's a gift that enables people to naturally do supernatural things. Do you want this gift? We need this gift so much more than we could ever realize. And if you're finding maybe particularly the Christian life challenging at the moment, if you're maybe even wondering whether to become a Christian and looking at others and thinking, I'm not sure I could do that. Well, this gift is what we need. Without this gift, we can't. What is this gift? We've been singing. We've been talking about it right from the start. It's Pentecost Sunday. You're not going to be surprised by this. It's so clear there in verse 39. What's the gift, folks? What's the gift we need as a church? What is the gift that God wants to give us today? What's the gift that can turn our lives to be lives that are extraordinary for him? What's the gift? Holy Spirit. So I want us to unpack today what it means for us to receive this gift, because this gift is the gift that enables us to, like, not just give a gift today, but to give our lives to the Lord and to others. In fact, I love reading just this words by John Stott about this Pentecost day, the first Pentecost. He writes this. He says, without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness or character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. And one of the things I love to see in this church is where the church is kind of living and touching and changing lives because the Spirit's at work. And I just long and pray for more and more and more of that. So I want to look firstly at God's generosity to us, because this passage is full of this sense of God's longing to pour out his Spirit. And I want to talk about how our lives need to be ready for receiving that, to first and foremost receive this gift, that it would pour into our lives. Let me take you to John chapter 7 and see how that kind of comes out here in this passage. In verse 37, it says this, on the last and greatest day of the festival. What festival? Do you want to just turn back in your Bibles and you see, beginning of chapter 7, Jesus goes to the Festival of the Tabernacles. I don't know if you know what the Festival of the Tabernacles is all about, but this was a festival that the Jewish people celebrated year after year after year. It was a reminder of when they'd been in the wilderness. It's recorded in the book of Exodus. They'd escaped out of Egypt. And they knew they were heading for this land that God had prepared for them. But they ended up, due to their unbelief really, ended up wandering in the wilderness, in the dry desert. And they ended up wandering for 40 years. And God, in his grace, in that dry, parched land, he provided for them. I don't know if you've ever been places where you're just desperate for a drink. Get something dry like that. But imagine there were about over 1 million of them. Imagine they're all so thirsty and you're trying to lead them and find water. And eventually they got to this place where they just so desperately needed water. And actually one of the amazing miracles that happened for them was that water came out of a rock for them. And this festival had a kind of a special moment in it, a special water pouring rite that was known to all the people. And there's something wonderful, isn't there, about water? Imagine that thirsty dry land, and there's kind of water pouring out of the rock just miraculously. We do baptisms down here, so don't worry about this. I'll try to avoid that. But just look, isn't that something beautiful about that? Water being poured out. It's a very powerful image. And there's something in this passage and in this sense of this occasion where Jesus is saying, hey, you know that kind of water pouring right, that festival? Here's the thing. If you are thirsty today, come to me and drink. They would have been thirsty in the desert. But you know, we have a thirst, don't we? Mankind has a thirst. It's not just because we get hot, but there's an aching often inside of our lives, a longing for something more, a longing for somehow, something that's kind of beyond us, something that we know is how we're meant to live. And there's often an ache and a thirst and a longing in our lives, in the lives of people around you. Well, all through the Old Testament, this image, this picture of one day God's going to pour out something that's going to cause what is kind of dry and barren to come to life. And Isaiah 44, he puts it like this: for I will pour out on the thirsty land and on the streams, on the dry ground, I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. It was looking forward to that first Pentecost day, that day that, again, Jesus talks about here: I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give this wonderful spirit. And in fact, as you go through Acts, this picture of it being poured out is the main picture that is used to describe the spirit. On that day, on that first Pentecost Sunday, Peter stood up and said, he said that about Joel, we'll pour out his spirit. And he said about, quoting from the Old Testament, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, on the young and the old, on the men and the women. The spirit being poured out in a wonderful way. And there are real thirsty people around the world. Around you, maybe even you're here. I want to just share about a person that I heard of when I had a privilege of visiting the Middle East. I went to Lebanon last autumn, and it was with the organization that we mainly support the persecuted church through. An amazing organization called Open Doors, and had the privilege of meeting a pastor from Syria in the region around Homs. Here's a picture of Homs. This is what Sylvia just had up here. Imagine living there. The reality is many who live there don't live there anymore. They've got out of the city. And I don't know if you noticed, but when buildings get collapsed and people are moving, it all gets a bit chaotic. When soldiers are around and there's fighting different armies, one of the huge things that happens is you get loads of abuse. You know, the women get abused. The children see all kinds of terrible things. And so this pastor, Pastor M, I'm going to call him, I remember meeting him so clearly because he had kids the same age as we do. And he said, you know, they had a choice when all this started. They had a choice to either to leave, many were leaving, or to serve. And Pastor M said they chose to serve in this region around Homs, those who were fleeing the conflict. And he said he met so many people just traumatized by war. And he particularly told the story of one woman. She'd been abused terribly from all kinds of people. And then as they ministered to her, as they listened to her story, as they shared the love of Christ, this thirsty woman came to Jesus. Look what Jesus says. He says this. He says, if anyone of you is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And right there in the midst of all that mess, this woman discovered something in Jesus that satisfied her need. She began to get healed, to experiencing a deep and wonderful healing, a thirst that was quenched. All the pain began to turn around her life so that she actually began to be someone who could to go and help others. And I want to say this morning, I don't know what your need is. I look around and there's someone who's had the privilege of journeying some of life with a whole bunch of you. I know there's actually a lot of pain. A lot of ways we're thirsty. And I want to say this morning, come to Jesus. He is the life giver. He is actually the rock. In the New Testament, it talks about him being like that rock out of which the water pours forth. And I want to encourage us to have lives that are open to him, that keep coming, as it were, under him to get what we most need. And I guarantee you, what you most need, you cannot buy with money. Money is extraordinary. It opens up all kinds of doors. We have the privilege of using it today to help others. But it cannot get you what you most need. What we most need is God. The gift of God by his Spirit. And God loves to pour out his Spirit. And again, not just a sprinkle. In Kenya, where I grew up, we used to have these kind of tropical storms. And you could kind of sense something in the atmosphere as it was often in the afternoon in the rainy seasons. If you've grown up in a place on a big sort of continent, you'll kind of know what this is like. You kind of sense the rain approaching and then you begin to hear it. And then you see it and you see something like this. And then when it comes, guess what? You get soaked. You get drenched. You get wet. Because this idea of the Spirit being poured out is never something that was just a kind of little thing. It was like the floodgates of heaven. We used to talk about it literally like heaven's opened. And it felt like that. And all through Acts, you get the sense of, you know, hey, you know, Peter notices that even to Cornelius and his household, this Gentile, the one who wasn't a Jew, was kind of unknown. The gospel is being poured out, he says, even on Gentiles. It's amazing, this picture of God pouring out this gift. And yet, as you see it and you want it, you can't get it with money. There was a guy in Acts who actually tried. We read in Acts chapter 8, he tried to, this was a guy called Simon. He wanted to give Peter money so he could have this amazing opportunity of helping other people be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." I mean, it's a bit odd, isn't it? He kind of wants to give money to Peter. And Peter says, "I'm not going to touch that. Because there's something wrong in your heart. You think actually money's the answer. You think you can kind of somehow buy this power. You're saying this isn't a power. It's powerful, but it's not a power. It's not just a force. This is the Spirit of Jesus. This is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is actually Jesus giving of himself to us. So back in John chapter 7, look what it says. It says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. That's where we need to go. We need to go to Jesus this morning. If you know people who are thirsty, if you're thirsty, you need to come to Jesus. You need to open up your life and your heart to him. I found it so helpful one time praying with Philip Duke, one of our elders. Sometimes as we're praying as elders, we just have a time of stillness. Is there anything that God wants to be saying to us? And Phil had a picture. He had a picture of that. Do you know what that is? It's a funnel. I'm seeing a smile from Phil. I think you'll remember this very clearly because we've often referred back to it. And Phil just had a picture of this. And he just basically said he just sensed that we all too often are like that. And we need to be like that. He said, we need to be open on the Godward side. Can you do that with your hands? Open on the Godward side. Looking up. Because we're expecting for God to pour into our lives. Sometimes, well, I'll raise my hand in worship, by the way. Sometimes I do that because it's kind of like, I surrender God. That's like the universal sign of surrender, isn't it? But also sometimes I just want, God, I want more of you in my life. Again, you don't have to raise your hands to have that heart. But that's the heart I want. God, pour into my life. I want to be open on the Godward side. I want to be a vessel that's expecting your lavish pouring in. That kind of downpour. But you know what? This whole thing that our lives are sometimes like that, that really struck me too. I don't know if you recognize that. It's not maybe, doesn't necessarily look like much that we use, except that if you start putting a vacuum on there, hey, it's actually quite similar to sort of same shape, big on the bottom, big on the bottom so you can suck as much into the vacuum to try and fill the emptiness. Big so you can get. And I think a lot of folks in our world, and maybe even a lot of us here, sometimes go through life. I want to get more. I'm going to feel better. Oh, I don't feel better. And I tell you what, we're often sucking up rubbish. We're sucking up rubbish thinking it's going to fill us. And God says, hey guys, stop sucking up rubbish. Or even stuff that you think is maybe good, but you're trying to get it when actually I want to give it. I want to give it. I want you to be funnels. I want you to turn your life around and be those that are expectant for me to keep pouring this amazing gift of my spirit and my love and my grace. And every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says. Folks, let's let it pour into our lives today. Let's be funnels. You know what the Bible calls when we recognize we're like this and we need to turn around like that? You know what the Bible calls that? It's got a word for it. It calls it repenting. Turning round. And that word is often connected with believing. Repent and believe it. Believing that the stuff that we often want to get, the stuff that everyone chases after because they think maybe it's in short supply, the kind of recognition, the this and the that, actually God just wants to give it to us. And if we believe that he's a good God, he's a loving father, he loves us, and we ask him, he loves to pour out his spirit upon us. So folks, I wonder this morning, if there's a thirst in your life, you know, that's great. That's okay. Not wrong to be thirsty. Just go to the right place. Receive from the right place. Look up. I discovered this week when I was drinking something, you know, actually if you drink, pouring, you always got to kind of come and you get below, you basically make a funnel with your mouth. Pause in. And I just want to say, to do that, we got to come humble. We got to be below God. He's God. Got to need his spirit. And as we do that, as he pours into our life, this is how a funnel works. It kind of, it goes, whoa, sorry, Andre. That's where you're going to stand in just a moment. You know, as we pours into us, do you notice something? It comes out whoosh. Our lives become these kind of vessels through which the life and the power and the love of God flows out. That's what I want to look at lastly and even more briefly, because if we get the whole receiving thing, our lives will flow out with amazing stuff. And Jesus here, he says something remarkable. Look at this. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in him, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within. What does it say? Them. Who's the them? Who's the them? Well, look back. It's the whoever believes in me. Now, we get that Jesus is this amazing source of life and of the kind of picture of the water from the rock, and he's the rock. But what Jesus says is amazing. He says that actually if we come and drink of him, if we're like those funnels open on the Godward side, he pours into us his spirit and his life such that rivers of living water flow from within those who believe. Flows out, touches the lives of others. And it's living water because that kind of is the way they talk about running water. It's useful water. It's water that brings life. It helps people. It's good. And one of the things you see in Acts is that actually that's how God works. I mean, he can just open heaven and touch someone's life and pour out his spirit. But what he tends to do is that Jesus works through people. Through people who are full of faith and his spirit. Who give their lives for others. So where they go, he goes. And where they give, he gives. And where they love, he loves. And life flows to people. And I was walking past this church just a short while back this week, and I looked at it and I thought, this is remarkable. This church, by God's grace, as we've sought to be open to him, life has flown to so many different parts of our world. Because people have been willing to be those living vessels. I was here last night. Lila and I just came in here just to pray briefly. And she noticed that sometimes the edge of the pews look like people kind of bringing their gifts. And I just was thought, you know, so many people have given in this church over the years. To work here in Brighton and Hove and to beyond. So many people. And life has flown out through that. People have gone. Many have gone. Some have even gone and come back. Like Mary and Jean and, you know, and lives that have been touched. But so often you see in the book of Acts, as you look at it, you see something kind of that looks wowy. You know, do you ever read Acts and go, wow, I was reading a bit this morning and I turned to Laura and said, that's an amazing story. I'm just going through Acts at the moment. One of the reasons it's amazing is because you get these miracles and you get people giving so amazingly generously, and the two are often connected. The sense of the signs and wonders were often done because the apostles were wanting to help someone. They were moved by love and they were moving towards people, and a miracle happened. And I think that's how, and I'm longing more and more miracles would happen in Brighton and Hove and through our lives. But let's do it not just so we see the miracles. Let's do it so we can communicate God's love and heart for people. And then I believe he's going to come and move. But also, I get blown away in Acts by the generosity of people. Do you know those bits where it says the believers had everything in common? They sold their possessions so they could help those in need. And those bits where it says, and so-and-so sold their home and bought it. And then it talks about, you know, Stephen who gives his life. And then James who gives his life. And these people are just, they're giving their lives. Literally martyrs. And you think, what's going on? I tell you what's going on. They've got the life and the Spirit of God in them. So much has it poured in that their lives are kind of being poured out. And my longing for us as a church, for me in my life, is that we will be living lives that are being poured out for others. That rivers of living water would flow through us to others. You know, when we're not got that sense of fullness, I don't know if you ever tried using a dry sponge. Sometimes when we're not full of the Spirit, we're a bit like a dry sponge. You try cleaning your car with a dry sponge, you're more like to scratch it. It's kind of hard, a bit brittle. But something happens when it gets drenched. Something happens when when it gets drenched. You know what happens. It goes soft, doesn't it? You are soft heart at the moment. It gets soft and it's able to something absorb something of that life-giving water. And then, I tell you what, it's amazing. It is just amazing. It's like, and that's only sprinkles. That's not even rivers. Oops. God, and the joy that comes from giving. The joy that comes from going, you know. It's hard to explain on a day like today, but I find that, so we had this World Missions Sunday last Sunday where people were sharing about stuff that they'd been doing. There were the Ethiopia team that had just come back from the most recent trip. They were sharing, and one of the ladies who shared that talked about going into a house very similar to Betty's house. I tell you what, it reminded me, there are millions of houses like that around the world. Millions. There are really, literally millions of people who really don't know where they're going to get food today. I mean, she talked about this corrugated hut, and there were loads of corrugated huts with mud floors, loads of corrugated huts with mud floors. And she talked about this lady who had HIV. Again, millions. And she said how this lady was a Christian. Because, you know, Jesus loves the poor, and he's actually working in amazing ways amongst the poor. And this Christian lady said to one of the people who went on the team, will you pray for me? And this lady said it was so humbling and moving. It touched her heart, you see. Not just do the rivers of life go out from us to others so that we are able to go and be a blessing. But these people, they bless us. The rivers of life flow back on days like today. They you know what they do that day? I stood there and any ounce of self-pity that was kind of brewing from a busy weekend just went. God, we are so privileged to partner with such people. And then we heard about a family, a missionary family from the church. We've got a picture up on here on the screen. I'm not going to mention their names because where they're serving, you know, you're not really not really meant to have missionaries. And these are places in the world where there's no real indigenous church that's recognized by government. You know, that they're allowed to have international churches, but you can't have local people come to Christ. Though there's huge need, and people are so thirsty for spiritual truth. Anyway, they've been there 5 years, serving, reaching out to people. And just this last year, they saw someone come to Christ. And we had the privilege of Skype call last Sunday and hearing about this one who's growing in their faith, and just from a background where they're getting such sort of persecution and hostility from those around them, and actually kind of almost demonic attack. The number of things that were going wrong for this new convert, this new believer. Just so many things. She'd been attacked, she'd been this, and yet our good friend is there, standing with her, encouraging her, meeting with her, praying with her, communicating the Father's love to her, and this new believer's growing. And I'm sitting there and thinking, this is so good that we have a chance to support a family like this. This is just one of our missionary families. We have a chance to help in these places where there is no church, in this place, it's like 0.02% of the country are Christians. 0.02. You think there were few in Brighton and Hove? I tell you, this place is desperately in need of others to go and serve there. But to do that is going to take a life poured out. It's going to take us so being filled that we're really willing to say, and I just encourage you, even as you bring your gift today, let's not just bring our gift, let's bring our lives and say, Jesus, anywhere, anytime, anything, I want to be willing. Here I am, God. And you know, that might be just across the street today or the office tomorrow, but it might be across the world. But let's live those surrendered lives, those lives that are like funnels. And maybe today, as we just come to the end, you know you're actually like this. Need you to just again repent and believe and turn your life open on the Godward. Receiving first and foremost. It's got to start with receiving. Let him pour into you. And I wonder, even just now, would you be able to stand with me? And even before we bring our gifts, I want to encourage, I'm just going to invite the band to come forward. And I want to pray God would just pour out his spirit afresh upon us. One of the things that the Bible talks about is be filled and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so just let's have our hearts, maybe our posture. You might not be, you all did it, didn't you? When we were in the middle of the talk, you're okay raising your hand. Sometimes in worship it's not so easy, but you might just want to do like this or kind of funnel shaped. Go funnel shaped. And in your heart, please, above all else, be funnel shaped. And Lord Jesus, we just pray where we need turning round. We want to come and say we believe again that you are good, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who satisfies our thirst. We want to turn, Lord, towards you. Lord, we want to be open on the Godward side. We want to be funnels, Lord. And we ask you, give to us this day all that we need. Lord, please pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, drench us, fill us. Lord, we as a church, we need more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, consuming fire. Fan into flame, Lord, a passion for your name, I pray. Fall in this place, Lord. Come have your way in us.